I want you to bow your heads for a moment. Lord Jesus, this word, I believe, is to radically change us from what we were to what we need to become. I ask this anointing to be upon our words, Lord, because I believe it's you and me in cooperation using this body to change whatever needs to be changed. In Jesus' name, let your eyes, let your ears, let your spirit perceive what your spirit is speaking, Holy Spirit, to my heart, and let me understand it. Amen? Amen. I'm going to take you on a journey in the book of Colossians, and we're going to be touching chapter 2. I know we've been here before, but I believe that it is a timely message that needs to go into our hearts. And to have an awareness that there is intercessors working on your behalf and on my behalf. You're not in this game together. You're not alone. And you never will be. You're part of a family. This is what we discerned again on Sunday night. That family was growing, manifesting in new levels and new understandings. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, St. Paul is speaking to Colossians, which could be the Chicopee people. For I want you to know how great is my solicitude for you, and how severe an inward struggle I am engaged in for you. I'm using the Amplified because I know some of the words that are needed in the next few verses to make you aware of something I pray will change your religious brain. Colossians chapter 2, Amplified. And for those believers at Laodicea, and for all who, like yourselves, have never seen my face and known me personally. Now, that tells you that you don't need to know the person who's interceding for you. But they may know you by the Holy Ghost. Verse 2. For my concern is that their hearts may be braced, comforted, cheered, and encouraged, as they are knit together in love. That's family. That they may come to have all the abounding wealth and blessings of assured conviction, of understanding, that they may become. And the word progressively should have a circle around it. More intimately acquainted with and may know more definitely and accurately and thoroughly that mystic secret of God, which is Christ the Anointed One. Now I want you to, again, to look at that particular verse. Christ the Anointed One. The word Christ means the Anointed One. So look at your neighbor and say, you are anointed.
You are anointed.
And so am I. Because
Christ is in me.
And he's in you. Alright? Got it? Alright. Verse 3, in him all the treasures of divine wisdom and of comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God and all the riches of spiritual knowledge and enlightenment are stored up and lie hidden. That's a mouthful. Okay? It may be a mouthful, but it is still truth. 3 in the NIV is a wee bit different, but it still gets the point across. If I can find it, I will read it to you.
Christ, in whom all hidden, in whom all are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
Okay. Hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. But notice again, it's a mystery. We don't understand mysteries, but we can trust God to make them clear to us. So in Christ, in the Anointed One, all the treasures of divine wisdom and of comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God, all of these are inside of us, and all knowledge and enlightenment are stored up and lie hidden, but they're not hidden for us to leave them hidden. They're hidden from us for a season. Okay? Verse 4. I say this in order that no one may mislead or delude you by plausible or persuasive or attractive arguments and beguiling speech. For though I am away from you in body, yet I am with you in spirit, delighted at the sight of your orderly arrays and firmness and solid front of steadfastness of your faith in Christ, your faith in the anointing. Verse 6, as you have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord, walk, regulate your lives, and conduct yourselves in union and conformity with Him. I repeat, as you have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, so walk, regulate your lives, and conduct yourselves in union with and conformity to Him. Verse 7. Have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in the Anointed One. I'm changing it because I want you to understand. It's in Him. Fixed and founded in Him, being continually built up in Him, becoming increasingly and more confirmed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. Now again, that's a major, major impact if you just look at the reality of what he's saying. He's really trying to let you know that you have the Godhead and the fullness of himself within you. And sometimes pieces are going to come out. And they're going to hit your mind and you're going to say, oh my God, I'm waking up. I'm starting to understand who I am in Christ. Verse 8. So to see to it that no one carries you off as spoils or makes you yourselves captives by his so-called philosophy or intellectualism and vain deceit, idle fancies and plain nonsense, following human traditions, men's ideas of material rather than the spiritual world, just crude notions following the rudimentary and elementary teachings of the universe and disregarding the teachings of Christ the Messiah. So he's warning them because you need to be warned. And I'm warning you. You listen to what is written. And what I give you what is written, not my idea of it. Because if I give you my idea, I'm going to go by my traditions, and I will make sure that if I follow those kind of things, that I'm following after flesh. And guess how many know that flesh has to die? So, my flesh has to die, but yours does as well. And Paul is saying to us, through this word, wake up. Don't buy just because it's somebody preaching something that it's the absolute truth. If it doesn't confirm in the word, watch out. Be careful. Amen? Verse 9. For in him the whole fullness of deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expressions of the divine nature. Some people put this only in Jesus. And when they do, they make a big mistake. Because the whole message is about you. Who is living inside of you? Is it not His Spirit? His Spirit is the Anointed One. So once that Spirit of His is inside of me and you, did He come halfway? No. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Within our very being. And some people are looking out there. And when you're looking out there, you're looking way, way beyond where He is. He's not saying that He's not sitting in the heavenlies. But He's also sitting inside of me. Now, I was listening to a teacher the other day, and it made a lot of sense. And I thought I'd share this part with you. If I went to the ocean, and I went there with a cup and a cover, I filled my cup with the water from the ocean. I couldn't put the whole ocean inside my cup. But I could definitely come home and tell you, in this cup or in this glass is the fullness of the ocean in quality. Not in quantity, but in quality. If I went all around the ocean, the quality would be exactly the same, because it's what? Ocean water. Now put your hand on your heart. Say, what I have of God,
by His Spirit,
is of the same quality as the wholeness of God. The container may be small, but the quality is exactly the same. Just that amount of Christ, or the anointing in me, is all I need. It's going to grow. It's going to get bigger. It's going to expand if I cooperate with Him. Hallelujah. Are you catching on? See, it's not how much of the container that is important. It's important that it's the quality of the Godhead that you have in you. And a lot of times, like my brother shared earlier, we have this disqualifying thought pattern. Why? Because if you ever conceive the reality of who you are in Christ, you're going to get excited. Because all of what Jesus was able to do, you're going to do, and you're going to duplicate it. Amen? And so once that truth becomes a reality in you, it's going to be an exciting life. It's not going to be boring. So try on this one. I want you to repeat it after me. Verse 9. For in Him, the whole fullness of deity continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature resident in me. It's not just out there, it's inside of me. Here's the confirmation in verse 10. And you are in Him made full and have come to fullness of life in Christ. You too are filled with God's the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual stature. And He is the head of all rule and authority of every angelic principality and power. Whew. Is that confirmation enough? Is that a reality check? When you start doubting who you are and why the war against you? If Jesus was persecuted, why can't you just get a clue as to why some people can't stand you? Because you see, every time you take a walk, the light that's in you shatters the darkness. Irritates the darkness. That should give you a confirming voice inside of your heart. My God, He is alive in me. I may not have the fullness of the quantity, but the quality is the same. Look at one neighbor and look them straight in the eye. Say, I'm telling you up front. I may not have the quantity. quantity that Jesus had. But I have the same quality. And he's going to grow. And he's going to mature inside of me. Just like he did with Jesus. It's not different. It's not a different Holy Ghost. It's the same Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It's the same Holy Ghost. Get a clue and get happy. Amen. And amen. How many can feel something strange happening inside as you speak that? What are you doing? You're shaking the darkness. How many know we have darkness trying to hold on to us? Okay. I'm not done yet. Because this part, I pray, will shatter your unbelief. Verse 11. In him also you were circumcised. Now how many know circumcision is cutting off the flesh? Thank you. And us guys, we know when that knife comes close, we get a little shaky. You heard my brother's testimony. Okay? He wasn't going in for any kind of circumcision, but he said, I don't want to see the knife. And you asked the doctor to pray so that he would have a sharp knife. So, you guys can laugh all you want, but it's the truth. Okay? Listen to what he says here. In him you were circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, but in a spiritual circumcision performed by the anointing. Performed by the anointing. By stripping off the body of flesh, the whole corrupt carnal nature with its passions and lusts. Whoa, ho, ho. Circumcision. Spiritual circumcision. Done by the Holy Ghost. Getting rid of all your old patterns of thinking about yourself and about how ugly and how sinful you are. And how sinful and ugly you were. If you've got somebody close by, I want you to take their hand. See, I'm coming into agreement with God's Word. And I'm telling you up front. In him. I was also circumcised. With a circumcision. Not made with hands.
Not made with hands.
But in a spiritual circumcision. Performed by the anointing.
Or performed by Christ.
By stripping off the body of flesh.
The whole corrupt carnal nature.
With its passions and lust. Hallelujah. Thus, I was circumcised when I was buried with him in my baptism, in which I was also raised to new life through my faith in the working of God when he raised me up from the dead.
Out of the water,
when I came out. I was a brand new creation. And I am a new creation. Hallelujah. A complete circumcision with a brand new start in Christ. Hallelujah. You've got it. That's it. You've got it. Now the secret is to go over it. Here's what I would suggest if you want to take it home and take it deeper. Check it out this week. Read it several times. Out loud to yourself. If you have to write yourself a letter, please do so.
Write yourself a letter about your freedom in Christ. And then read it. You might even post it on your rear view mirror, at least in scripture form, with a little post-it. Maybe your refrigerator door could use a new theme. I've been circumcised. Ah, you laugh. My bathroom mirror wore some of these light messages over the years, because that's where I used to put some notes. And I remember one time Irene says, "I don't want that on my mirror." It's just not on, it's on your side, it's on my side. And we both laughed. She says, "If anybody reads that, they're going to think we're crazy." I said, "Let them think it." Because what? We're not normal. We're not of the world. We're of Him. Thank you, Lord.